You know, ready to go? In Isaiah, it talks about how it says, arise and shine, about the light of the Lord and his glory being upon his people. At the same time, great darkness covering the earth. And I was thinking about that. I mean, our focus should be on the light that God is releasing, the glory he's releasing, not on what's going on in the world as far as worrying about it, especially things that we have no control over, which is quite a bit. Darkness has a way of penetrating through walls, and religion builds very strong walls trying to keep the darkness out. And I see the darkness is like a fog that goes right through the walls of religion. There's no protection or immunity there. Our only immunity is in the presence of God, in the light, in the Spirit. And I'm thinking about in this hour, I know there's going to be a lot of changes and adjustments. And one of them has been, I think there's been a conditioning of people to follow other people, too much so. We follow leadership. Leadership is to be an example. We submit to authority so that we can be blessed. But there's been too much emphasis on just kind of trying to find the right, quote unquote, church to be a part of, the right apostle or prophet to be hooked up with. That has value. But your growth is not dependent on who you're trying to follow.
Amen.
Your growth is dependent on your relationship with the Holy Spirit within you. And, you know, I hear a lot of these different men and women of God talk about their heavenly experiences or their experiences with hell or whatever. And you wonder about all that. I mean, I wonder about it, the accuracy of that. It's very hard to determine. I wonder sometimes why people feel such a need to share all these heavenly visions and things that really can't be validated. We'll leave that for another time. Let's say it's true. We have no way of knowing. Something could be born out of someone's imagination. They could be up there just trying to impress people. Or they could have had a visitation from the Lord and be sharing that. Do those things really change us because we listen to what someone else has experienced? There's a certain level of impartation that comes through, a certain level of faith. It's a good thing if God is leading that person to share it. Now, in Paul's case, he said the Lord wouldn't let him share things that he experienced. But if we're following after somebody else, if we're following externals, our discernment is not going to be accurate.
Amen.
And it doesn't promote growth or transformation within us. The issue of this hour is not exactly really about who you're hooked up with as far as ministries. But is your relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life a growing reality? Because that's where the light is going to grow. And I want to read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. You have no need for anyone to teach you. This does not mean you're to be independent and not listen to other people, anointed of the Lord. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, is true and is not a lie, just as it's taught you, you abide in him. Okay? The important thing is we need to get to know the Holy Spirit within us. That anointing is what Paul was referring to in the book of Ephesians. Let the eyes of your heart be enlightened. That anointing, the Holy Spirit, is what brings enlightenment within us. And when we're enlightened, that's how we abide in him. That's our place of safety, of immunity, our place of rest, our place of authority and power, and understanding how we're to move in God. You know, the gospel, the Bible, can be used by anyone to support just about any view you want. And the problem we have is if we're trying to follow God with our minds and trying to figure God out with our natural mind just by reading the Bible, we tend to create God in the images we have in our thinking. And you can find scriptures to back up just about any viewpoint you want. The devil used scriptures when Jesus was in the wilderness being tested, didn't he? We're created in the image of God. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal these scriptures to reveal and impart God's nature God's mind and heart to us. Otherwise, if the Holy Spirit is not doing that, our minds are trying to recreate an image of God that goes along with our conditioning, our thinking. And that's where you get a mixture of the Old and New Covenant. That's where you get God is love unless he's not. And you have people that believe in the severity of God and God punishing and everything else. Well, where does that come from? It comes from our thinking, our experiences with authority, our life on this planet. We've all gone through a lot of heartache. We've been abused. We've been hurt by people. We've been hurt by authority figures. So we can say, okay, well, I'm going to transfer all that thinking onto God. God must be angry at me when I don't perform well. Why? Because other authority figures in your life have been angry with you or disappointed in you when you didn't perform well. But God is love. Unconditional love, as John says. Don't add anything more to that. God is love, but then there's times when he gets real mad at you and he's going to punish you. No, the Bible does not support that. Even the judgments of God are born out of his love. New covenant cannot be figured out with our human thinking. Our minds will never lead us there. The Holy Spirit will only lead us to the reality of the new covenant. And that's the revelation of the scriptures, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he wants to impart to us. He wants us to abide in that truth, in that light. New covenant is a place of rest. Hebrews talks about the Israelites didn't enter in because of what? Unbelief. What's unbelief with us as far as new covenant? When we don't believe that Jesus finished the work on the cross and that we've got to add something to that work, that's the unbelief that blocks our awareness of the new covenant of grace and life for us. It's not unbelief that we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or we don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. But if we don't believe that his blood was enough and his sacrifice was enough, if you're still thinking, well, I deserve to be punished, God is punishing me. No, by his blood, he took all that punishment on the cross that we deserved. Either he finished it or he didn't. He said he finished it, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So if I don't agree with that, and I think that I have to add something, and God's expecting me to jump through hoops, and God's evaluating my performance, and sometimes he loves me, sometimes he's angry with me, then I'm in a state of unbelief. And I'm not entering into the rest that new covenant life is because I'm not believing that his work was finished. Religion will always say that it's grace if it's about Bible-based religion. But you know it's with a religious spirit. It's always grace and something else. God loves you, but church always has to add something to that. Whenever you try to add to what God has finished, you lose the reality and power of what he's done for you. Grace plus anything else equals no grace. It takes away from our awareness. And in Galatians 4, it says this, let's see. Well, we're talking about getting right with God. We know we're saved by grace, but for many believers, once we're saved by grace, to get right with God or stay right with God, you hear that expression? You're made right with God because of what Jesus did. You don't lose that. You may lose your awareness of that, but you don't lose that from God's perspective. And growing in grace, as Paul talked to the Galatians, you think you started in the spirit, now you're going to perfect yourself with the flesh? He says, no, no, no. That same grace that saved you is the same grace that you grow by. You finish the same way you started. It's all the work of God's Spirit. Galatians 4, when you attempt to live by your own religious plans, you are cut off from Christ. You have fallen out of grace. That's a pretty strong statement. See, in the atmosphere of grace, There's a spiritual principle that's constantly at work, faith expressing itself through love. When you lose that awareness of grace, you begin to lose the power of faith, and you begin to lose the awareness of God's love. And then it becomes religious striving, and we know where that leads us to. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, grace is activated as a force of power in our life. That's why Jesus said, it's necessary that I go. You know, when he was with the disciples, it was kind of like he kept everyone in line, even though being with him didn't change their internal being as far as how they thought. There was a safety as long as Jesus was around. And so they were scared when he said he was going to leave. They go, what do you mean you're going to leave? You know, where's our standard? Who do we look to? He goes, it's necessary for me to go. I'll not leave you as orphans. In other words, I'm not leaving you with nothing. In my place will be the Holy Spirit in you. He will guide you into all truth. So the important thing we need to recognize is we don't have a visible Jesus to follow. And that's why people want so much to identify with, say, apostles or prophets or a strong personality and say, if I can just follow the right leadership, I'll be okay. We want that physical being that we can follow. Jesus is invisible. We don't have that. We have men and women that are examples to us in the faith. Thank God for that. But your answer is the Holy Spirit within you that will lead you into the truth of who the Lord is. The Holy Spirit within you guides you into the reality of new covenant life. That's the only way we can learn it. This is Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, from a different translation. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God. It didn't work, Paul's talking. So I quit being a lawman so I could be God's man. I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer in control or central. I no longer am driven to impress people or God because Christ lives in me. The life that I now live is not mine, but is lived by faith in the Son of God. I refuse to repudiate the grace of God. I refuse to repudiate the grace of God. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died in vain. Very, very powerful, powerful scriptures. Grace produces in us what we cannot do in our own strength. You know you're in new covenant life when you repeat like Peter, who then can be saved? When you're faced with the futility of your own efforts, and recognize that it's impossible to do what needs to be done, you're left with two things, two directions. One, give up. Or two, rely on the Holy Spirit to do the impossible. A walk with God is a total dependence on His Spirit and grace. Jesus said, I can do nothing independent of Him. How can our lives be any different? So when we're talking about new covenant life, we're talking about the impossible to our religious flesh. And God wanting us, He wants to break that independent self-will of, I can do it, I can make it happen to, Lord, I can follow you, and by your strength, all things are possible. One of the core values of this new covenant life that's impossible for us to do in our own strength is forgiveness. We all talk about it. We all can forgive. But when you get right down to it, when you've been hurt, when you've been betrayed, when you've been deeply wounded, you can mouth the words. But can we in our own strength really forgive others that have hurt us? No. I can't. It's one of those things like Peter said, Lord, it's impossible. Who can be saved? Who can do these things? New covenant life, the forgiveness, is all about his forgiveness becoming a reality within us. It's about the grace of God producing that divine response that we are incapable of. Why? Because in our natural mind, we hold on to things. We resent. People hurt us. We say, I want to forgive you. I'll mouth the words. But the thinking, those thoughts can keep going round and around of being hurt and betrayed. Only God can heal our minds and release that divine quality that when we've been wronged, we can let it go and forgive people. That's what Jesus did on the cross. God forgave us through Christ when he went to the cross. When we move in this type of forgiveness, we're moving in the power of the cross. John chapter 8, Pharisees brought a woman before Jesus caught in adultery. And they said, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery. The law says we should stone her. What do you say? Jesus said nothing at first. In the natural, the response to sin is judgment and punishment. So they're coming with their natural thinking, saying, okay, and they're trying to trap him. But here's a woman that's broken the law. The law says we should do something to her. What do you say? When we're in that judgmental mode, God is not speaking those thoughts. That's why Jesus kept writing on the ground. You see, they were thinking in a way that he wasn't thinking in. There was not a quality of forgiveness in their heart. All they think about is an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The problem with that is we're all human. We all sin. We all make mistakes. If that principle held, there'd be nobody left on the planet. We all deserve to die. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He took our punishment and judgment on himself. And he took the very law that judged us. And that was nailed to the cross. So Jesus finally responds to them. He exposes their heart and says, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And they all left, sorrowful. What happens when we're not in this judgmental mode, when we have this quality of forgiveness in our core? There's a transparency. When you're willing to forgive, you can see on a heart level with people. And that's what Jesus saw. They're saying, what do you say about this woman and what she's done? The law says this. Their awareness was locked into simply one perspective. Something's been done wrong. Now, what are we going to do about it? Jesus, who had that quality of forgiveness, the heart of the Father, saw from another perspective. He looked and saw a heart of a bunch of people that were all on the same level. He looked and said, it's not just this woman's sin, you're all sinners. And he spoke words of love that convicted their heart. And for a moment, those Pharisees could see that they were no different than that woman they brought to stone. And that's why they left sorrowful. What did he do to the woman? What happens when we're not in a judgmental mode, but there's that forgiveness that's been worked in our heart? We have the authority to lift condemnation off people. That's what he said. He goes, who condemns you? They all left. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way and from now on sin no more. When we have that quality of forgiveness, there is authority to release people from condemnation and release them into a new life. When he said go and sin no more, it wasn't just a saying, something to, you know, like quoting a scripture, go, bless you, see you later. He was empowering her. Now that you're not condemned, he was saying, go and live a different life. And I believe she did. When we have a forgiving heart, we have that authority to break and lift condemnation off people. The next verse says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. When we move in this quality of forgiveness, we are expressing the light of Christ to this world. I think this is going to be the quality that just breaks through the darkness of the age. Just like Jesus going to the cross, what did he, what was the cross all about? He humbled himself and we were forgiven and history changed. Now, one last verse and we're done. You don't have to turn there, Romans 8:19. The anxious longing of creation awaits for the revealing of Christ. Creation is to be set free from futility to the freedom and the glory of God's children. Futility broken. Creation set free. What is the quality that's going to do that? The revealing of Christ. How did Christ reveal his heart and the Father's heart? By forgiving the world. I believe that when this core value of forgiveness can really be expressed through the body of Christ, instead of the judgmental, critical spirit based on law and legalism, when that forgiving spirit can come through, it will break and shatter all the futility that creation's been under. And one last verse, Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." Amen.